Welcome aboard.
Warning, this podcast contains vulgar language, is not safe for listening to at work, or basically any place else. Please proceed listening at your own risk. But really, what the fuck else would you expect from a podcast about snakes on a plane? Hello and welcome to the second episode of Snakes on a Podcast. I'm Arnie.
And I'm Marjorie.
And we're here to have a discussion on whether or not this film is appropriate for this political climate. The movie is about a transatlantic flight where evildoers release snakes on a plane. And given the current political climate, do you, Marjorie, think it's appropriate that this movie be coming out?
Yes, but it's a Pacific flight, not a transatlantic flight. It's from Hawaii to California. The FBI witness is a surfer, and they're flying him from Hawaii to California to testify against the mobster for the murder he witnessed. So it would be a Pacific flight.
Oh, well then fuck it all. It's okay then.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine.
Although, given the current political climate surrounding the Trans-Pacific Flight 815...
Well, actually, I think the most recent air disaster regarding Hawaii was where just big section of the airplane blew off mid-flight and took like 5 people with it. But the plane did land safely.
But what about Flight 815?
Oh, that one. Oceanic Flight 815?
Oceanic Flight 815.
It's pretty tragic. That plane just never showed back up.
Given the tragedy of Oceanic Flight 815, do you really think snakes on a plane is appropriate?
No, because those families are still grieving. They don't know what happened to their loved ones. No one can find this plane. It's just vanished.
So, fuck snakes on a plane.
Oh, we're going to see it. It's still a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Snakes on a plane. Got an email today. It said, there's snakes in my truck.
There's snakes everywhere.
There's snakes on your mama.
And if you want a t-shirt, you can go to t-shirthell.com and get words on a shirt.
Words on a motherfucking shirt! You almost picked up for me the other day. Words on a page.
I almost did, yes.
There's the novelization of Snakes on a Plane.
If you really have to find out the ending right now, I suggest you head over to your local bookstore and pick up the novelization of the movie Snakes on a Plane.
I almost bought it.
Ooh, it was a pretty thick book.
It was. It looks like a commitment.
It might be a quick read, though.
There's snakes. There's a plane. But let me ask you, what's the fun of tits and ass on a page?
There's no tits and ass in this movie.
Yes, there are.
There's desnudus?
They went back and shot titty scenes.
So they could get the R rating.
Yeah, they went back, they filmed this thing like it was going to be fucking PG-13. And Sam Jackson said he wanted to have the line, I want these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane, and they wouldn't let him say it because it was PG-13. Then when the internet buzz started, you know, people like you and me, then all of a sudden, it became an R-rated film and they went back and shot some titties.
Viva Desnudas.
Yay for Desnudas! Because how can you have a horror film without a naked bimbo dying?
Well, there was one recently, Descent. It had no naked women. You were kind of disappointed.
Little bit.
6 women. None of them got naked.
One did get naked, but it was in a shower and they only showed it from the neck up.
Yeah.
There's probably like a swimsuit on. I hate it when they cheat like that. You know what I also hate? Is when I'm watching HBO, especially like Big Love, and it says Desnudas, so I'm expecting maybe like Marlene naked, and instead I get Bill Paxton ass.
It's Margene.
Margene.
How can you forget her name when it's so similar to my name? That's what I can't understand. It's near your wife's name. It's very close.
But I remember your name.
I hope.
I don't call you Marlory.
Who knows?
Let's talk a little bit more about Snakes on a Plane. Let's talk Comic-Con. You had a blast at Comic-Con.
I did.
More excited than any of the Star Wars things, because we do like Star Wars a little bit.
Somewhat.
You ran to the giant snakes on a plane.
Well, that's because they took a giant snake and made it an airplane. So you walk in through the snake's mouth, and you're going through the airplane. It had props from the movie. And then when you get out, they give you little wings that say snakes on a plane. And then they also had the travel card, or the instruction card, which would be in your seat back, to explain what to do if there are snakes on your plane.
I think, as the video says, bend over, grab your ankles, and kiss your ass goodbye.
Well, you can use a tray table to smash them.
Like
Kenan Thompson.
Exactly.
You can use a fire extinguisher.
Well, also you can use a harpoon gun, like Jackson.
Yes.
Because all good FBI agents carry harpoon guns on flights.
I think it was on the checked baggage, actually. So somebody was going harpooning in California? Or had been harpooning in Hawaii? I don't know, maybe there's a club for that. Not really sure.
So, where aren't snakes? We've seen snakes on a cake.
We have seen snakes on a cake.
We've seen snakes on TV. Sam Jackson is going to be on Letterman tonight. I had somebody at work say to me, you know, Sam Jackson's going to be on Letterman tonight, and that means you and Letterman are on the same playing field.
Not really, no. Not at all. There's no women breaking into our house yet.
Well, yet, you know, I'm too sexy for a snake. Too sexy for a snake. We've had Snake Plissken on a plane. We will be taping the Sam Jackson interview on Letterman tonight, and maybe we'll play a clip of it on tomorrow's show. Now tomorrow, everybody run, don't walk, to your local Circuit City, but take a Best Buy ad.
Because you can get the Snakes on a Plane soundtrack for the super low price of
$9.99.
Now if you take it to Circuit City, they will give you the difference in the price as well as 10% of that difference in addition to get it cheaper at Circuit City.
And Best Buy are full of assholes. Don't shop at Best Buy. They suck.
Yeah, we've had not good experiences at Best Buy.
No.
The last straw being this reward zone stuff where they're changing the rules and now you have to buy like the entire store to get $5.
Fuck that.
Circuit City's not fabulous either, but they're not Best Buy.
We should go release a bunch of snakes in Best Buy. Have snakes in snakes in an electronics store. You know what we had, though? We had snakes at a round table.
We did have snakes at a round table.
And we're not even joking. We interviewed Jules Sylvester, the snake wrangler.
And he is so much fun.
But he's afraid of trousers.
Trousers are scary. I'm not wearing any right now. Trousers are frightening.
Are you afraid of trouser snakes?
Sometimes they can be scary. They've got that one eye. And they like to spit. Yeah, I guess there's been no trouser snakes on a plane.
No, there have been trouser snakes on a plane.
I guess that's the porn.
Yeah.
Ron Jeremy will be starring in that one.
I want this motherfucking trouser snake out my motherfucking pants. But we interviewed Jules Sylvester, and he had a snake in his hand.
It was Frank.
But not a trouser snake.
No, because that would be a whole different interview. I don't think he's that kind of man.
He might be. He is Australian. Isn't
no,
he?
He's African.
He's African?
Did you do any research today? He's from Kenya.
Is he?
Yes.
Really?
He said it in the interview.
Did he?
I believe so.
Our interview?
Yeah.
Oh. This is why I have you here. You're the fact checker. I'm just here to curse a lot.
I'm pretty sure he said he was from Africa.
Oh. No, he went to Africa to get the snakes.
I thought he said he was from Africa. Grew up in, like, Mozambique or something.
Well, we'll just head to his website, reptilerentals.com. And it's where I always go when I need to rent a reptile.
Absolutely. We rented one 3 weeks ago, and this is where we went. Kenya. Ah, Kenya. He's from Kenya.
Huh. He is from Kenya.
So that would make him African.
Yes, he's African. That's what I said.
Did you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But he did the whole thing while holding a non-poisonous but nasty-looking snake.
It was a milk snake, and it was very pretty.
It was orange and black. It looked mean.
Well, the reason they chose it for the movie is because it was very similar to a coral snake, which is poisonous.
Also, that snake was not lethargic. That snake had its head looking at all of us, and he was flicking that Satan tongue.
That's how they sense. You know, they don't have a nose.
I know, that's how they smell, but he was flicking that Satan
tongue. They
also
don't have ears, I don't think, either, do they?
No, but they have two penises.
No, they have two vaginas.
No, I thought they had two penises.
It's vaginas.
Penises.
No, because that's how you tell, remember?
No, that's incorrect. Male snakes have two penises.
I thought they had two vaginas, and that's how you stick the probe in to see which one is.
Male snakes have two penises called hemipenes, or half-penis.
Oh.
In the mistaken belief that they were pressed together to form one penis. See, we're fucking educational here on Snakes on a Podcast.
So what animals do vaginas, then?
I don't know. But that's twice the time they can say that they have a headache?
I guess so. Hoo-ha one and hoo-ha two?
I told a person at work today that snakes had two penises. He asked me if they both function at once. He wanted to double his pleasure. Little snake orgies.
I don't think that's what goes on.
Snakes in an orgy?
No.
So we will play the Jules Sylvester interview now.
Her name is Frank. Not that he answers to any name that he called.
How can you tell?
Actually, the females have a shorter tail,
uh-huh.
And the tail starts basically there. That's the vent.
Okay.
And snakes are like birds. They have a cloaca. One hole serves the same purpose. It separates inside the body, not outside the body. Thank you very much. And when these guys breed, because the males have a longer tail,
yeah.
And they use the tail to wrap around the tail of the female, and the males go all kind of jerky on it, like they do a little sort of dance like that. And the female thinks, that's pretty cool, it's quite a nice dance you did there, you know. And males have two penises, one on either side, because they have no hands, so it's like, which way, left or right? Whatever. Yes, left or right. And that's how it works. And these guys lay eggs. Some snakes, like the boa constrictors and the anacondas, give live birth. So, oviparous and viviparous. Big words.
So, which one is this one?
This is a tangerine milk snake, also known as a Honduran milk snake. Comes from Honduras. It's a forest-dwelling snake. Looks absolutely lethal with those colors. The reds and the blacks, that look like danger colors.
Yeah.
In fact, it's quite innocuous. Now, they all have teeth. So she can give you a bite, but certainly wouldn't do any damage and make everybody jump 6 feet. Yeah, and little pinpricks, and you'd beat a little spot. But if we get bitten, we put a hand in the pocket and use the other hand. We're fine, really. No, we're fine. As we leak into our pocket.
So taking this, it's one of those snakes that looks like another poison snake.
Yeah, and that's what we do. Most of the stuff we work on movies, we have the mimicry effect. And we like to use as many non-venomous snakes, especially with the actors, of course. We can't use venomous snakes. I would never do that to an actor. That would be pretty terrifying in itself, working with a snake without venom. But with venom, it would be just ludicrous. So we use these snakes that look like this. A lot of milk snakes and coral snake lookalikes, what I call. These are albino ones. We have ones that are with no black at all, just white and red. And they're quite exquisite. And they move very furtively through the forest dwellers, so they sort of creep through the jungle underneath the leaves looking for lizards and other snakes. They're cannibalistic too on occasions. They will eat other smaller snakes. So you have to watch that when you're working with snakes. You keep them all basically the same size. don't put Junior in there. It's like, Junior is bomb. He was delicious. Thank you very much. You have another?
I guess that'd be the question that I'd have with all the activity going on set and all the actors and all the interaction and everybody involved with getting their part right. How do you keep the snakes safe?
Good question. Actually, that's the first thing I do when I come on the set. Before I bring any snakes on, I get the whole crew, and especially the cast and the actors, say, what is it? My big criteria is absolutely, positively, do not hurt my snakes.
Right.
It's really important with that for me. This is my living, you know. It's like your microphones and equipment stuff. Don't run out the door and jump in the water with it, please, you know. I can't get another, you know. And they're very, very good about that, especially, you know, the actors. This is their job as well. So they're very understanding about my animals not being hurt. Plus, they like the snakes. You know, they usually hide because they're pretty good with snakes. And when we do any action stunts or anything like that, the live snakes come out and the rubber ones go in. And so there's never, whenever you see a lot of fire and brimstone and people whacking the snot out of things left and right and trays flying and people flying through the air, there are no live snakes in that shot. Simply because it's just safety for my animals. And when there are live shots of snakes that are coming out of the air ducts and the oxygen masks are dropping onto them, there's us above there holding by the tail, lowering them down with the wiring and the paperwork and all the stuff that comes down. And the actors are told not to move their feet. They can move their bodies, act up a storm, scream bloody murder, because the snake's deaf, he doesn't hear a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff doesn't hurt him, as long as you don't grab the snake and start flogging it on the ceiling. That's not a good idea. Frank hates that bit. So just as long as you don't grab the snakes and rough them up, act all you want, scream bloody murder. A lot of the times it's just take your hands away, because you wouldn't want to grab a snake that's on your lap. The first thing you do is go, and jump back. and he would basically head hazard all the screaming, and the body is locked in that seat. They think super glue, okay, don't sit on my snakes. And they were great. The extras were great. Actors were great. And we never lost a snake, never got one damaged. We took 450 up to Canada, and 450 came home. And it's all good, you know, it's great.
There was no breeding of snakes.
No, actually, some of them, we actually took a few more home because they were actually pregnant on the way home. These snakes, you know, it's one thing about snakes, if they're stressed, they don't eat and they won't breed. These guys ate me out of house and home, and we came back and all laden with eggs. It's like, who did what to who? It was like, wasn't me, man. Like, it was just a group of us there. And it was,
I don't know.
Nothing. Just, I have no control.
Are there certain kinds of snakes that work better in the movies or get a better temperament? They actually are better actors.
There are actually. Pythons are really good. You know, large pythons, small pythons. Certain species of the coral snake lookalikes, like these milk snakes, are really good because the color variation, and they can be anything they want to be. It's like the USA. What do you want to be in America? I want to be an astronaut. Go to school, be an astronaut. You can do whatever you want. With the colors like that, snakes can be anything you want. The worst ones are the fast-moving tree snakes. Like we've got a couple of rat snakes there that they're 6 feet long. That thing, as thick as a man's thumb. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they get above 75 degrees, which is about this temperature, zing, they're out of the shot. You know, action. Okay, you want to get that when he's heading out the door? You'll never see him. All you see is about the last 2 inches of his tail as he leaves frame. Zoom, he's gone. You know? So you want basically sluggish, slow-moving, greasy-looking, scary-looking, big-headed snakes that work great. And one of the best snakes to work on a scene like that, usually by itself because they're cannibalistic, is a cobra. And we had one albino cobra up there that was really great. You put him on the seat, and he's permanently pissed off. That's his job. And he eats me out of house and home. But they're just a very aggressive snake. So you put him on the seat and touch his tail, he'll whip around, hood up like that, and stare at you with his mouth open. It's very, very intimidating. He knows exactly what he wants to do with you. You get too close, he wants to kill you. And that's it. It's kind of honesty about that you kind of like. You know, it's like, I like the honesty. It's like, that's cool. Yeah, I understand it. And you give them a lot of respect. You go, I'll go back another foot. Thank you very much. And the one cobra we had up there, he was so aggressive. And we put him on the airplane seat. And he turned around and saw himself in the window, in the reflection. He was mad as hell. He's like, I'll kill you. Just threatened the snake for about 10 minutes. I said, Jules, could we turn him around and face the camera? Okay. Touch him on the tail. Excuse me. Yeah, what? And he was so bloody mad, he bit the cushion. And of course, they had that on film. I don't know if they kept it in the film, but he was so furious. He grabbed a hold of that cushion and would not let go of it. He was going to kill that cushion if it rip it up. He was like a damn terrier. It's like, good lord.
So it begs the question. One thing I've always wondered about snakes. Sorry,
no,
go ahead. One thing I've always wondered about snake hunters is this the ABC work clothes? Because you know, people
yeah.
see Berlin and not.
Yeah, I'd be doing longer than Steve, yeah. I had the shorts before he did.
I wear a suit of armor. I don't know.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that a lot of the times, yeah, when we all started, we were kids.
Yeah.
I haven't changed much. But I always wore shorts, and the reason I wore shorts is that there's another reason behind that as well. It's just running through thick bush, wearing long trousers and nice fancy stuff, just get hooked up.
All right.
You know? So you wear the short shorts, the boots, and the shirt that doesn't rip that easy, because you're going to be running and jumping, climbing over rocks. You don't want floppy clothing. And especially when you creep up and come across a snake, and it's any wind blowing, you've got long trousers, nice linen pants. You know, it looks great on Hollywood, but it doesn't work for snakes. You can be all of a sudden too close, and you freeze there and wait till the snake is not looking at you and goes before you grab his tail. Along comes a little gust of wind and blows your trouser leg like that. He's on you. And you don't want anything flapping around you. Let the leaves flap. You're just an inanimate object right there. You just lock off and just lock there dead still until he's turned his head and gone away. Then you reach down very slowly and you grab the tail gently, hook him up. But one of the reasons I wear shorts now, and it's been a thing of mine, when I was about 21, I was catching snakes in Rhodesia. I had a snake park in Victoria Falls. I chased a very large poisonous snake across the dirt road. I was going to a party. I had my best flares on. This was the 1970s. And I thought I was a very cool dude. You know? And I was going to this party on my motorcycle on this green tree snake. It's a South African tree snake called a bormslang. Across the road, there is no serum for the snake at the time. And I chased it about 100 feet into the long grass. And I knew it was within 5 feet of me somewhere. And I waited there till it stopped moving and I could see it. It was bright green, but I couldn't see it in the long grass. And I was standing over it. and it's a tree snake. So it saw a nice big gaping hole, which is my trouser leg, and zipped up my trouser leg.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Don't ever wear flares when you're catching snakes. Bad idea. I stopped him just above my knee. I was a tree trunk with a hole in it. So he zipped up, then he wrapped around my knee. Now I'm standing up there in the middle of the bush wondering, what the hell I'm going to do next? And you stand there, it's like, right. And there's nobody there. I mean, you can stand there for 5 days, no one's going to come by. And it's like, oh my God. And the realization is that this is a very bad place to be. And it takes a little time, because I was 21, I wasn't that bright. You know, it's like,
you don't have two penises.
I don't have two penises. And I really want to keep the one that I got. You know, it's like, I'm quite afraid now. And so I used my belt and I cut the jeans off me above where I was holding it. And I tied my trouser leg off with the belt and cut the material and tore the material very slowly open. I was lying on my back at this time because it was hot as hell, with my head against a small tree. And the snake realized he wasn't undercover anymore, and I was tearing it very slowly, just ripping it. And Levi's are hard to tear when you're frightened. And I was sweating like crazy. And he got too hot, and he came out, climbed over my shoulder, used my ear as a ladder, and climbed up the tree. And by that time, I think he passed out with fright.
Wow.
And I realized that he was not out to kill me. He was just as afraid as I was. He just wanted to get the hell away from me. But I tell you what, the other trouser leg came off real fast after that. George, what happened to your trouser legs? I don't want to talk about it. And that's why I wear shorts.
So what you were saying about the cobra, it kind of begs the question, have you ever had any actors accidentally get bit, maybe by irritating a snake?
No, actually, I've been very fortunate. I've had no actors bitten. I've never been bitten by a venomous snake, and I've caught over 10,000 venomous snakes in my career. I've been doing this 39 years. However, I have been hit about 15 times, but they never actually got through to my skin. It's one of those... I am so bloody lucky, it's unbelievable. They've hit my fingernails. I got hit by a very large viper, both fangs, one fang at each fingernail, scared the pants, and jumped back, and I thought, uh-oh, dead man walking. And I looked at it, and there's like two grooves on the fingernail and venom everywhere. It didn't break the skin. And I just, you've got to be kidding me. I went and sat down and said, you can go now. I don't want to catch you anymore. I said, I take the warning. He wanted to kill me.
You know? Religious man, are
you? Now I am. There's a greater power than myself work here somewhere. And it's just, and I've had them go up my trouser leg. It happened to hit me in the wallet. I've had a huge cobra go through my hair. I had the hair like your length. I was in the 70s again, and I was a cool dude. Went through my hair and attached itself to my top pocket here, and I couldn't get him off. And it was in the middle of a snake pit. I had about 500 venomous snakes in a 40 by 40 pit, and I fell backwards over a log that was filled with vipers, and I fell against the wall, and there were vipers under my back. I never sat on a snake. They should have all killed me. And I lay on my back with my legs up in the air over this log, holding the snake. And I had a bushman that used to help me. He never knew a word of English, but he could repeat everything parrot fashion. He was amazing. And he said, good morning, sir. Get the bloody snake off me! I had this great big snake attached to my chest. And he got it off me with the hooks and threw it over the tree and pulled me out of the pit. And tore the shirt off me and looked over my chest. Not a scratch. Venom everywhere. And I was like, oh, God, it should have killed me, but it didn't. And I just get better at this stuff. I'm getting faster, I'm getting smarter. I use tools. Oh, there's a concept. No more branches for me. I have professional snake handling tools, and it really works. And every time you catch a venomous snake, the odds are the same. I just make the odds in my favor. I just am very, very methodical, and I never change the rules for myself.
Well, snakes are here. I thought you went to Snakes R Us and picked them all up, but
it's been years in the making. Right?
How often do you change your snakes out, or do you keep them indefinitely? Is there a process of where you keep them for a period of time and then let them loose?
The snakes that I've got, 99% of them are all homegrown, so they're all hatched from babies from friends of mine that breed them. So I keep those for the whole life on them. These guys can live 25, 30 years. Now, the local rattlesnakes, I keep them till they stop rattling. That means they're just eating. They're eating out of the house with them, and they're not working, so I take them back out of the bush and kick them back up where they came from and catch fresh ones. And if the snakes don't work, I'll trade them off for something that does work. If I can't release them in the area, then I'll trade them off to somebody who wants a more of a calmer snake. I'll find I'll swap them for something else. You know, I've had a couple of cobras that wouldn't hood. Can't use them. I've got a big brown, highly venomous snake. So I'll trade them off for something else, like a larger python. There are breeders and handlers around the country that'll take it.
What is it about snakes. We have the title of the movie, Snakes on a Plane, and everybody goes, whoa. What is it about just snakes in general that people are kind of wary about, people are phobic about?
It's a very bizarre thing, it's a snake phobia, but I think some of it may be biblical. You know, Adam and Eve, the swine that came out of the tree and said, here, have a bite. And he's got a bad rap from there on. Of course, the devil incarnate always classified as a snake or a serpent, you know. It's because it looks nice and is venomous and can kill you, but you know, no one says that about the lion, you know, the leopard that sneaks around at night eating your pet dog. You know, it's just the snake seemed to have got a bad rap. He hasn't got four legs. You know, it's a legless thing that creeps around and doing nasty things to everybody. You know? It just comes with a bad rap, and then phobia is a phobia. I've seen people with phobias of, you know, there's I think Billy Bob Thornton's afraid of antique furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has a phobia. I didn't know. I didn't think I had a phobia. I'm mortally afraid of going spelunking. You know, it's not what I do. I'm not going down there.
Snakes in a cave.
Yeah, snakes in a cave. Oh, see, that would be, imagine that. That's, you know, snakes and spiders in a cave. It's like, no, don't get there.
Did you grow up in snake country?
Yeah, I did, yeah. In Kenya. I grew up right on the equator. Perfect place for snakes, you know.
Black mamba country, isn't it?
Black mamba country, yeah. It's a good place for black mambas. God bless them. I love them. They scare the hell out of me. They do that.
I've heard tales of black mambas crawling into houses and just attacking indiscriminately. Is it a myth? Or?
It's based on myth, but based on fact, too. Black mambas are highly nervous. So you scare a black mamba, it's like scaring a very neurotic person. Now, give a neurotic person a very large stick and then grab them by the ankle in the dark night, you're going to beat the snot out of you. And that's what black mambas do. They freak out and everything gets bitten in the process. You know, they just want to get away from you. They're very, very nervous snakes, and that makes them very dangerous.
Okay, one quick last question for me. How did you get into this? How did you get into the bring the movie aspect to it?
It's kind of interesting. It's my friend that works with me. He says, I got the movie because I'm a lousy cook. But actually, I started as a reptile handler in the Nairobi Snake Park when I was 16. I was offered a job. I saw a friend of mine catching a large python. I thought, I have to do that. At least try that. And it was great. You know, it's just one of these things. It's you're working with animals. Not many people want to work with snakes. Kind of takes you out of the herd a little bit. And that's what I liked about it.
Do you get a rush from it? You know, it's like staring death in the face.
Yeah, I do actually. I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie. I like my venomous snakes more than anything. And I'm not showing off with them, but I do get a rush. It's like, and it's just the beauty of it. I think it's it. I'm really passionate about my venomous snakes. I find them absolutely fascinating. It's just one of these animals that just like, good God.
What does Frank eat?
What's that?
What does Frank eat?
Frank eats small mice. All right. A deep freeze full of frozen mice.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
I'd love to see what he does.
Well, that was fucking awesome.
He's a very entertaining man.
He is.
He's a lot of fun to listen to talk, and he was very good at handling the snakes. I mean, the snakes seemed to like him.
He better be good at handling the snakes.
Yeah.
His job's snake wrangler.
ReptileRentals.com.
Now, I want to reenact something that happened. Last night, we were talking about the Sam Jackson Dial-A-Friend. And I'm going to go ahead and play what a conversation of that would be.
Tom? This is Samuel L. Jackson. Now, you may know me from my roles in movies like Pulp Fiction, Star Wars, and The Incredibles. But I'm here today to make sure you go see a movie that holds a special place in my heart. That's right. I'm talking about Snakes on a Plane. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't give a damn because Snakes on a Plane just might be the best motion picture ever made. It's that good. So listen up. On August 18th, forget about your regular job. Chasing around after all those criminals, and stop wasting all your free time messing around in those crazy chat rooms. And for God's sake, quit fiddling with your dorky glasses. Just hop on your trendy little scooter, go get your homeboy, Billy, and go see Snakes on a Plane. The one summer blockbuster that will take a big nasty bite out of your butt. It's simple. Do as I say and you live. You don't want to mess with me on this one because I will come after you. You hear me?
But we had this calling everybody personally. And then I had it call my coworker Eric. Now Eric knew we interviewed Sam Jackson. And it kind of went like this.
Eric.
What?
This is Samuel L. Jackson. Now you
Holy shit!
My roles
Sam Jackson's calling me! Arnie knows Sam Jackson!
Incredibles. But I'm here today to make sure you go see a movie that holds a special place in my heart. That's right. I'm talking about snakes on a plane. I know that sounds
I think that was the best reaction, because he was like jumping in his chair thinking that we had somehow gotten Sam Jackson to call him from my cell phone, even though I was sitting right next to him at the time. Anyway, we had one of my coworkers send one of these Sam Jacksonograms to my boss, but we had to be sure he'd answer the phone. So we used his boss's number as the from. My boss never got a phone call, and I'm wondering if this employee flipped them. I don't think my boss's boss would take too kindly to, Mike, this is Sam Jackson. Just don't think that would, and I think he might actually get paranoid with the, do as I say and you live. You hear me? Don't think my boss would like that. Well, we're excited for Snakes on a Plane, or as the French call it, Serpentes del Avion. Only 3 more days?
2 more days. 2 more nights. We have Tuesday,
which is our interview with the director.
David Ellis.
David Ellis, not David Silver, as you said last night.
I said it was 90210. And Wednesday night,
when we interview
Sam Jackson? No.
Yeah, but who do we interview?
Samuel motherfucking Jackson.
Exactly. And then Thursday night we see the movie.
We see the movie.
And we will record our first impressions of it in the car right after. So you will get our unbridled post-movie experience. And that will be the end of Snakes on a Podcast, and you'll all be sad motherfuckers.
Unless they make part 2.
We may have a special 6th episode if the DVD is really cool.
Okay.
Snakes on a DVD. So, go, Snakes on a Plane. And last night, we ended the show with a clip from the song Snakes on a Plane, Bring It. But I like this song so fucking much, I actually want to just have it on my iPod, so I'm going to end the show with the full song Snakes on a Plane, Bring
like
It.
Cobra Starship.
They're like Jefferson Starship, only snakier.
I think they were just made up for this movie.
You think?
Yeah.
They make me feel fucking old, because one of them looks like he's 18.
He probably is.
He looks like that kid from that Boy Meets World.
I don't know that show. I'm sorry. Yeah. I've never seen it.
All right. We will be back tomorrow.
We got a free upgrade for snakes on a plane. I don't care. Pop the cheap champagne. We're going down in flames. Hey,
oh, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. Oh, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. Oh, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. Oh, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it.
So give me your
midtown, downtown. Snakes on a block. I suggest you grab your ankles and kiss your ass goodbye.
I think you got snakes on your internet.
I want these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking podcast!